This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, Jenny Murray welcoming you to the Woman's Hour podcast for parents. This week, how to raise sons to be good men. How do we raise them to be kind and compassionate and to believe that girls should have the same rights and opportunities as they do? Well, Jane spoke to a consultant clinical psychologist, Emma Citron, the journalist Victoria Richards, and a volunteer at the Good Lad Initiative, Jordan Jones.
Victoria, tell us about your two children. Presumably you raised them exactly the same.
Yes, exactly. And I'm very committed to giving them equal opportunities and sort of imparting them with a strong, empowered feminist message, I suppose. I've seen things been said that have been said to my daughter that have really made me stop and think, wow, we've got a long way to go here. For example, she was wearing a dress once that had the emblem of Star Wars on it, and a shop cashier said to her, oh, but Star Wars is for boys, and you know, her face dropped and she felt really crushed. You could see that. Yeah. It really sort of shook her belief in the world, really. And she was told that she perhaps shouldn't be playing football after school because, oh, what about the after school clubs for girls? And my son, who's now three, is seeing that because he's around her and he's hearing that sort of injustice and parroting it, actually. You know, whether it's the TV programmes he watches, something as sort of benign seemingly as Peppa Pig, where he's saying, no, that's just for boys, or that's just for girls, or, well, boys can't do that.
The Peppa Pig issue is that Daddy Pig is such a plonker.
Yeah, there's a few issues, I think.
Yeah, OK, there's probably are more than a few. I haven't watched it for a while, I must confess. OK, I would imagine, Emma, your sons are older. You've got a daughter, you've also got four sons, the oldest of whom is nearly 30. I think.
Yeah.
So, would you say it was harder to bring up sons now than when you first started doing it?
I think there was less interaction with social media for the older children.
Well, let's be clear about this. There was less pornography accessible on phones in school playgrounds.
Yes, absolutely right. I think they were under less pressures. There wasn't Instagram. They didn't join Facebook until they were 14 or even 15. And even then, they didn't really care about it very much. So I think this opens up the whole social media debate too, because of the accessibility of all of these forums that we're talking about, like porn, to our youngsters, and how that may or may not influence their attitudes.
So what do you do as a parent or carer?
I think you try to have good discussions with your youngsters.
Yes, I mean, you can try. How do you do that?
Yes. I think if any, as Victoria was saying, any stereotypes and prejudices leak out, like even from a young child saying, aren't the boys are stronger than the girls, they climb the climbing frames and they're the ones that are so good at everything, you can start to present other points of view. Well, you just may not be noticing that actually, you know, that the girls are doing X or Y, or actually they're very good at maths or whatever it is. So I think chipping away at stereotypes from a very young age is important. Chipping away at power stereotypes, you know, the perhaps implicit perceptions that, you know, boys have the power and the authority and can rule over the girls in some way. I think these are discussions we can start to have very early.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Jordan, I know that you grew up in a household with a mum who was very much immersed in feminist politics, wasn't she?
And definitely.
But you still, by your own admission, didn't always treat women in the right way?
No, not at all. Would you like me to elaborate on that?
Bit, if you don't mind. We're only live on radio. I could look at you all day, Jordan, that's not going to get us anywhere. No, carry on.
No, definitely. I think, myself included, you know, I'm not removed from the society that I operate in. How we interact with men and women, speaking from a heteronormative or a heterosexual point of view, growing up, it was that thing that happens in life. Things like kiss chase, things like, you know, you punch the girl in her arm and you only do it because you like them. Things that we kind of subconsciously are constantly told and reinforced that this is the way to behave and it's acceptable. Boys will be boys, things like that. But having a mother like I had, that was never and still isn't tolerated, constantly being picked up on, but more importantly, educating me on what laid underneath that.
Okay. I mean, Victoria, from your perspective, your little boy is three. Mm. I mean, he's done no harm to anyone, nor will he ever, I'm sure. Do you worry more about him than your daughter, or do you worry more about the influences he's going to be susceptible to?
I mean, I think misogyny shackles boys as much as it shackles girls, right? And he's going to be facing issues of toxic masculinity. He's going to be facing pressures to be a man, whatever that means. And what that seems to mean in a sort of traditional sense is to not express your emotions, not express your feelings,
well, I know
treat
that
women in a certain
that
way.
That was one of Kellyanne's worries. She wrote in her email, "My biggest worry is the message that boys aren't conditioned not to express their emotions."
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, I feel that it's really simple that as parents that we can do that, or as a society that we can do that by encouraging boys to express their emotions and also modelling. Modelling is really, really important within the home. So we've got to look at the traditional stereotypical kind of activities that parents do in two-parent families, if it's a sort of heteronormative setup, if you've got a mother and a father, for example, then, you know, is the mother doing the traditionally female activities of cooking and cleaning and childcare? And, you know, isn't it really, really simple to see dad cooking dinner one night and mum washing the car or mum taking the bins out, you know, stuff like that, that a lot of kids will be seeing every day, that can show them that they don't have to conform to stereotype.
Emma, you've got four sons, and would they say, yes, I'm a feminist?
No, I don't think they would. I think they'd feel quite alienated by that term.
Who's alienated them?
I think it's got very negative connotations in society. It's seen as quite political, quite angry, and quite anti-men, actually. And I think they don't feel like it's their safe space.
They don't feel like it's their battle.
No.
And they don't need to be a part of it.
But even they feel threatened by it, I think, in some ways.
You look quite upset by that, Victoria.
Shocked. I think I come up against this a lot, even amongst my female friends who sometimes say, oh, I'm not sure if I'm a feminist. And I genuinely think it's because people don't understand truly what it means. And I give my friends this really simple acronym, which is PEPS, which is basically, I always say, feminists believe in political, economic, personal and social equality for men and women. And if we take that as our springboard, then I don't understand why that could be seen as a negative term or bastardised.
Okay. Jordan, I think you'd say you do embrace the feminist label now, but you might have fought it in the past?
I would say, I definitely would say that I identified as a feminist. But after speaking to other feminists, I thought it more appropriate to identify as a feminist ally.
Okay.
Interestingly, when someone told me, you know, you're a man, it's not appropriate to say you're a feminist, I immediately got my back up.
Okay, well, yeah, I wouldn't. Why did they say that?
Well, I think that's more for them to... That's for them to articulate and to kind of think out. But what I would focus on is more, I got my back up because someone said I couldn't do something.
Okay.
And then straight away I went into patriarchal man. No, I want to be a feminist. You can't tell me I can't. And so I then recreated the exact problem that has feminism exist in the first place.
All right, I want to get some rock solid advice from all three of you in a minute. But first of all, let's bring in some listeners. Rupert says, a simple piece of advice, cuddles and love from dad. amazing how it changes things. Well, mm-hmm. I don't. No one would disagree with that, would they? Yeah. Tamara says, and this is a reasonable point, maybe a man should come on the programme one day far in the future and discuss how to raise our daughters to be good women. Mm-hmm. Right, well, OK. Go on.
I was going to say, that just seems like another branch of the what about men argument.
As well as men telling women how to be women.
Catherine emails, ensure that their father is a feminist and is very present in their lives. Elaine, an email, I've got a son in his 50s. He hasn't had a father role model in his life since he was 7. He lived his childhood through the 70s and the 80s when the women's movement was at its height and was exposed to the principles and the practice of feminism. He's married with a family and devoted to doing his best, which he achieves. However, recently, he has been expressing his feeling of being at a loss as far as being surrounded by strong women, and he feels he doesn't know where to fit in. So I suppose, that, you know, to be fair, I mean, it's not, we've never suggested on this programme that only women face challenges. I mean, that's clearly not the case. And Elaine's hinting at a difficult situation there for her son. Sue says it's not just about presenting a positive female role model and enabling girls. It's as much about presenting positive male role models and giving a variety of play materials to girls and boys. That means dolls for boys, tractors for girls, and so much more. And from my raid, I think we need to equip boys practically, cooking, cleaning, babysitting, etc. Sounds weird, but would you want your son to be your partner when they grow up? Mm. Yeah, I know what you mean. It sounds weird, but you're making a very good point. Let's put that one on you then, Emma. Mm-hmm. You've had the most experience with 4 sons. Mm. What did you get right?
Mm. I hope that they would embrace... I think it's the term feminism that is quite jarring to...
Well, let's move away from the term and let's talk about what you did and what you said.
Didn't do. Yes, I think I tried to make them very emotionally astute. I read them stories when they were very little that touched on emotions. We talked about a variety of emotions. I think they picked up a lot because I'm a psychologist with a practice at home. So... you know, without names and confidentially, I would sometimes talk to them about some of my clients and some of the issues they presented with in an age-appropriate way. So I sort of opened their minds to things that they may not be coming across necessarily in the wider world of their experience. So I tried to sort of connect with them and make them aware of how other people feel. And I think that's really important.
Victoria?
Mm. I think it's a really fundamental point is to provide them with a range of options, as we've talked about, not supplying them with cars or diggers or tractors, but offering them dolls and buggies and you know, things that people would traditionally give to little girls. And I brought along a photo, actually, of my son, of what he chose to wear. He's only 3, for his nursery graduation photo.
Very nice.
And he's wearing a big pink and white checked bow headband. And that's not me foisting that on him. I mean, it's available because he's got an older sister, so perhaps that is one thing. But it's not saying you have to wear this. It's not saying you can't wear this. It's saying you're totally free to wear this if you want to, even from this age. I think it's really important.
I think there are battles that aren't worth fighting. And speaking as the proud mother of somebody who dressed as Postman Pat for many, many years and had her own sack and wonderful. Would routinely attend formal events dressed as a Cumbrian postman. But she wouldn't do it now.
No.
And by the way, if she did want to...
That's up to her.
She could.
Yeah.
Jordan, over to you.
I think as parents, carers, guardians, as well as keeping our children, you know, safe and alive, we have to intellectually and emotionally develop them. And so for me, what I do with my kids is every moment is a teaching moment, whether we're watching Disney or Lion King or outside or on a bus, every interaction, I use that interaction to inform my kids of something and then let them figure out what it is. So I'll say to Mia, oh, it's quite interesting.
How old is she?
Mia's 8.
Okay.
It's quite interesting that man interrupted that woman when she was speaking and kind of said the exact same thing that she was thinking. What do you think that's about? And then she'll say in her 8-year-old brain, yeah, that's quite weird. He's just like explaining it again. He didn't have to explain it, you know. And so she now has the definition of mansplaining without me
explaining
forcing it on her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I do practically. That's what I do all the time.
But do you talk to your son differently?
Well, Jelani is nearly 2.
Okay.
But at the end, like we were saying earlier, Victoria, it starts from birth, from when baby is in mummy, the gender stereotypes and everything begins. So with him, it is very much a case of the exact same thing. Wear what you want, do what you want, as long as it's safe and as long as it's appropriate, then, yeah, I treat him the exact same way.
But what if he goes on to be like you when you were an adolescent or somebody in your early 20s?
Then he's very lucky that he's become like me. No, I get what you mean. If he's going to struggle at the end of the day, because the way I tried to live and how I was raised is not in line with how most men conform.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So he might have all your good thoughts and yeah, all your brilliant intentions, and then, but he's got to find his place with his peers.
100%.
So difficult.
It is difficult. And what I'd say is, you know, you choose the crowd. Show me your friends, I'll show you who you are. You choose the crowd that you think suits you or fits you, hopefully. And so I hope that with the village of people that are raising him, he won't be someone that just succumbs to peer pressure and goes along with something just because it's seen as cool or okay, just because it's what he believes in.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is hard.
But it's a daily, we were speaking about this earlier, it's a daily struggle, it's a daily thing, constantly checking privilege, constantly checking patriarchy, and other men calling it out to each other and holding each other to account. That's essential.
Yeah, that is as important as with the Me Too movement, right?
Completely.
So people, or lads in the pub, you know, this so-called lads culture, men calling each other out for saying that is inappropriate, that is sexist, that is... You know, you're allowed to express your emotions. And
definitely.
Also, we were talking earlier about reading to kids. I think there was a study done by the Fawcett Society that showed that books that challenge gender norms can literally undo children's perceptions of gender stereotyping. And there is a wealth of very interesting literature out there. There's the kind of, you know, goodnight stories for rebel girls, stories for boys who dare to be different, fantastically great women in sport and science. And I brought along a picture book that I was showing Jordan earlier, which is called Julian is a Mermaid by Jessica Love. And it's this beautiful, very simple story. It's not preachy. It's about a little boy who sees women dressed up as mermaids and thinks they're really beautiful and wants to emulate that with like his grandma's netted curtain. And his grandma is, you know, gives everything, gives him props, gives him a pearl necklace that he can put on, and he swans around looking like this beautiful mermaid. And it's really simple, and it's just saying, yeah, you can experiment, you can, you know, be who you want to be, no judgment, just support and love.
And Emma, did any of your sons, or would you have allowed your sons to dress like Victoria's little boy?
Yes.
You wouldn't have challenged that?
I mean, I'm very reluctant to speak for my boys because they're all adults now, so I'm aware of that. But certainly one of them would use the pram and the dolls and dress up way into late primary. And my girl was not a stereotypical girl in the ways that you might expect. She was the old
fashioned... Because guess what? We're all individuals.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So it would have been absolutely fine. It was absolutely fine. And they have their own attitudes and outlooks. And they're egalitarians. That's, I think, what they would call themselves.
Well, yeah, that's lots of syllables in that. But would they really call themselves egalitarians?
I think they would if the concept was explained, like Victoria did.
That's a bit unfair.
Yes.
The concept was explained.
I think they would. I think they would.
Great.
I was just going to add as well that I think we're talking about things that can be done from really, really early on in life. Mm-hmm. And it's so true, you know, through stories, through books, but also issues, really big issues like consent. You know, you empower kids to say you don't have to kiss your aging relative at Christmas.
Yes.
That is from the word go, that is giving them the power to say no, or sort of bodily autonomy, right?
Yeah.
So that can start really early too. I think it's, you know, we just need to embed these systems, you know, that we're all trying to battle against as early as we can.
We had lots of response from you to this discussion. Jeanette said, I brought up three boys in the 90s, talked to them from an early age, used television programmes to raise topics like consent in age-appropriate ways. It's too late when they're 14 to start to talk about anything so important. Mairead said, I think we need to equip boys practically, cooking, cleaning, babysitting. Sounds weird, but would you want your son to be your partner when they grow up? Sue said, it's not just about presenting positive female role models and enabling girls. It is as much about presenting positive male role models and giving a variety of play materials to both boys and girls, dolls for boys and tractors for girls, and so much more. And Annie said, I have two sons now in their 30s. I never thought of feminism as I brought up my sons, but I wanted them to be able to be independent. Therefore, I showed them how to cook and clean, but also do electrical work and garden while being a working mother. It transpires that they now both see women as just as capable, if not more so in some areas, than men. Being their example seems to have served them well and made them good and respectful partners. And don't forget, if you have ideas for the Woman's Hour podcast for parents, do get in touch with us through the website. It's bbc.co.uk/womanshour. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
What is wellness?
I think of the image of wellness as like pure joy.
The important thing is for people to choose, like, what do you want to do?
Wellness are the things your grandmother told you to do.
When you really start to think about it, the answer feels more complicated. I'm Maya Feller, registered dietitian nutritionist and author.
And I'm Dr. Kavita Patel. We're the hosts of Well Now, Slate's new podcast on wellness.
Join us every Wednesday as we tackle that simple yet important question, what does it mean to be well?